Once again, here's Rick Preuss and Lee Cohen, who are keenly aware that dogs have owners and cats have staff.
This is the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS.
We're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show, and we've been speaking this morning with Dr. Ann Rice, the visiting vet. And Dr. Rice, before the break, I teased with a subject I wanted to talk about in our final segment, which is more of the holistic topics that you focus on, hygiene, environment, and psychology. How do those play into how you go about practicing veterinary medicine?
One of the most important things that I think we're realizing in veterinary medicine is the animal-human bond. Those animals have become part of the family. Dr. Colmery will be talking next week about the fact that the animals have come out of the outdoors and they're part of the household now. And so understanding that those animals and humans are so interrelated. What I find is the animals will pick up our negative energy. They'll sometimes pick up our emotional problems, our physical problems. And sometimes when I see the animals, I happen to ask the owner, do you have a problem, something similar to what I'm finding in your animals? And it's an amazing coincidence. I said, yeah, I've got the exact same thing going on. Mm-hmm. So there's an interesting mirror that goes on. Not everybody appreciates that, but after 35 years, I certainly see that coincidence more and more often.
Well, if you're thinking it, I mean, we are their pack, or they've chosen us as their pack.
That's
you
right.
know, and what would a pack do but emulate each other and be influenced by each other?
Well, and to me, that's the fascinating part of what you do, because the idea of visiting the last time you were in, you yeah. explained that how can I judge if you bring an animal into the office where it's a strange environment and they're going to behave differently, whereas when you observe them in their home environment doing the things that are normal, you're going to begin to see what normality is and what could be causing the problem.
Oh. You know, I've done both. I've been in a multi-person practice, and that was delightful. But when I started my house calls 26 years ago, it was delightful to just sit and watch. The owners were sure I was going to throw them up on the kitchen counter or a table, be done in 10 minutes. And mm-hmm. certainly what they found, the name the visiting vet comes as a part that I visit a lot. And when I'm talking with the owner, I'm constantly observing what the animal is doing or not doing. And so they don't often show some of those same situations in a clinic. They've got the stress factor going. And so it's delightful for me to be able to see what are they doing, ask the owner some things. That gives the animal a chance to hear my voice, smell me, smell my bags, but also interact with me in a very different way that they might not in a clinic setting. So, yeah, the psychology of veterinary medicine, I think, is vital. I ask my clients to look at the animal's situation and try and understand the animal's point of view as to why they might be doing something. Some of those behavior problems, if we try and look at it from their perspective rather than our human perspective, we might have a better understanding. Why are they screeching at the door? Why are they making noises at certain times? We might not like that, but if we try and look at what is triggering them from their animal perspective, then we can try and help solve that problem.
Can psychology be cured? I mean, as an example, I'll never forget walking one of my dogs now when he was a very small puppy, and a garbage truck came down this very narrow road we were walking on. And ever since then, he knows what time of day and what day of week the garbage truck is going to come down the street, because all of a sudden he comes running and hides under my legs or right by me, because he still has that noise from when he was a puppy 7 years ago planted in his brain. Can something like that be solved?
You know, they never forget. Can they forgive? They also never forget what we veterinarians do to them. So we have to be really aware of how we approach them. When I talked to vet students, I said, if you're the first encounter with that animal, you're going to screw it up for the rest of this animal's life if you don't take into consideration that animal's perspective. Why are they panicked? What could we do to make it easier on them? So yes, it is animal behavior. It's animal conditioning, no different than children who have a real traumatic event in their young, tender years. We want to try and help them overcome that, just because that garbage truck is going to come by every week.
Right.
And you hate to watch those animals go through that panic, that anxiety. It's no different than thunderstorms. We can't necessarily take that all away because we're not trying to anesthetize them, but we can comfort the thunder shirts and something similar.
Sure.
You know, when you've got a kid who's in a tantrum and a panic, the school teachers know you give them a wonderful warm hug using your body. You touch those nerve endings. You hug them until that trauma is over. And you watch and feel that child totally melt. The animals can do that too. And so if we try to adapt and make that a better experience, they're never going to like that garbage truck. But can they be less fearful? Absolutely. We can assist them. But if we don't take patient time to help them, no, it doesn't just happen on its own.
Right. And how do hygiene and environment affect the overall holistic? Or, I mean, explain why those are important.
It's not necessarily just holistic. It's with any animal and any perspective. You know, if you put an animal in a closed-in bathroom, they have nothing to entertain themselves, nothing to look at. All they can do is smell under the door and listen to the sounds. They make up a lot of things that seem fearful to them that we're going, well, that, why is that bothering you? So we need to have them be able to interact with their environment. Hmm. If they can look out the window, cats, I ask my clients to put bird feeders on the window, outside the window, let them watch the squirrels, let them watch the birds. They need entertainment. If they're just sitting at home on the couch, they don't necessarily watch TV and change the channels. But if we're not there as their pack to interact with them, they need some stimulation. So their environment is vital. If they don't have something to entertain them, oh, they mm-hmm. will find a way to be destructive.
Sure.
In ways that we humans are not real happy about when we come home. So we have to look again from their perspective, what would entertain us? What do we need for quality of life? And so that's why some of the doggy daycares have come out to give those animals some interaction with other animals, with other people. You know, we all have neighbors. We have high school kids, junior high kids, especially those that want to be vets. They need some exposure. Hire them. Get them to come and interact with your animals when you're gone for 12 hours a day. So that environment is vital because we've brought these animals into our family. They don't necessarily have a job on the farm. They don't necessarily do what they were bred to do. They're couch potatoes often, so we have to give them something to do. I know with my animals, I get up at 4 in the morning to go for a walk and enjoy nature. Would I necessarily do that if I did not have a dog with a cold, wet nose looking at me in the eye in the morning saying, let's get your butt moving. It's time to go sniff the smells outside. So, you know, that gets me moving and I feel better. And so that's the quality of life. She doesn't ask for much.
Wow.
But if I don't do it, by golly, I'm the one who pays the price.
I would imagine so. And what about hygiene? I mean, talk other than the constant brushing or cleaning, as we'll talk with Dr. Comrie next week about the brushing of teeth, what other things should we be doing to maintain the better hygiene, which then leads to the better health?
You know, that skin is the biggest detoxifying organ the body has. They can only cleanse themselves by pooping it out, peeing it out, breathing it out through their respiratory system, or oozing it out of every pore of their skin. So the skin is the biggest cleansing agent that the body has. So simple, it really takes very little time. I have a very hairy Bouvier, and so for about 7 to 10 minutes each day, she and I have this togetherness time. She does get to sit on the couch for this, and we comb or brush, and she looks forward to it. She sees me pull out the comb. She leaps up into her spot. She gets groomed. We get the snarls out. We get the oils moving. We clean out those pores, and she no longer has tangles.
Well, Dr. Rice, I can't thank you enough for your time this morning, and I still feel like we need more time with you, so I'm sure we'll be contacting you again to have you back on the show. We've been speaking this morning with Dr. Ann Rice, the visiting vet, and Rick, you know, every week I say what a problem it is to run out of time, but God, I wish we had more time this week, because I've loved the conversation. But for our producer, Mark Price, and Rick Cruz, my co-host in the studio, this is Lee Cohen, wishing all of you a great weekend and a great week ahead. We'll speak with you again next weekend on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And please, please take good care of your pets. Have a great weekend, everybody.
If you're out of the listening area, you can hear the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show live online. Go to 1320wils.com and click on the Listen Live link.